Let's pray. Okay. God, we come because, God, we just want to be loved on by you, because we want to worship you, God. God, there's just in us, God, just a heart that longs and just begs, God, to be in your presence. God, we want Christmas to be special. God, we want to worship you as you deserve, and no less than that, God. So we ask for your glory to come, God, and that the message of the angels, God, would just resonate in this place, and that the glory of the Lord, God, would fill this place, God. And God, you would stir our hearts to worship. God, you would stir our hearts to repentance. And God, we would love you, God. We just would really love you, God, as you deserve. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, when people talk about Christmas, you know, I think, you know, it's so commercial. If you just mention Jesus, it's like almost enough, you know. Like, you almost feel brave nowadays because people don't even say Merry Christmas. Like, I go to work and it's just Happy Holidays, you know, because we just don't want to be offensive. And so even if you say Merry Christmas, you feel so brave, don't you? Like, hey, you're like, hey, Merry Christmas, okay? Like, you know, because there's something about, you know, just the season not being about Jesus. But even then, right? I mean, because I hear, you know, people talk about Christmas, and I hear, like, kids say, what is Christmas? It's happy birthday to Jesus, right? And so, and you know, and it's just, we have, I think, you know, just time to time, things have become so familiar in Christmas, and you want it to be meaningful. And so we do everything that we can, you know, the presents, the tree, decorating the house. There's just so much pressure, right, for Christmas to look really nice, right? And we want it to be about Jesus. And so we do the traditional things, and we talk about, you know, we talk about Jesus, and we talk about the story of Christmas. And I love the story of Christmas, which I want us to kind of just today, because I think it's one of the most important sermons of the year, because we've been talking in our series on what it means to be gospel-centered. And we started out with, you know, God being holy. And that means that God is set apart. But not set apart like he's distant. Because I think that we don't really quite get holy. Set apart means he's cut apart from the rest. That means the word holy means uncommon. That means, yes, it kind of means, I mean, it means that he's not like us and that he's not common, but it means he's special. He's radically worthy. Like, he's uncommon in that way. So I want us to understand that Christmas and the glory of God. See, Isaiah 6 talks about the holiness of God. Holy, 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 right, is God. And then the earth is full of what? Not his holiness, but his glory. Glory is the manifestation of the holiness of God. So it's the specialness and the worthiness of God radiating on us. And that's an important word, because as we read the gospel narrative, as we read this story of Christmas, that's got to be embedded, that the holiness of God came to earth. When in the old days, one high priest once a year could go in to the inner holy of holies and experience, right, God's holiness, which means God's specialness. Now, you have to experience God's specialness for you to feel special. And the problem with this world right now is that there's just so much shame. We have to do whatever we can to make ourselves set apart, right, to feel special in the most natural way. So we come to Christmas, and we're going to do everything naturally possible for this to be special. The problem is there's only one way for Christmas to be special. And that's if God decides to summon you before his presence and shine the glory of God upon you. You can walk around that. Because, I mean, even, you know, we were just talking about, you know, God's been doing some healings in our church. And we were talking about how, you know, like, we pray, like, for the doctor's hands all the time. I mean, because, like, that's about, like, we need a mediator. We're almost afraid that God would just, like, be, we don't want to be disappointed in God. Because we ask for so much, right? It's just we have so low expectations about God and what God really, we forget that that Christianity, really, the gospel, is about like something very supernatural. And that is the glory of God breaking through, the kingdom of God breaking through to this life. And anything less than that isn't the gospel. And we're going to talk about, okay, the gospel for Christmas, right? Luke chapter 2. So we heard, right, the angel's message to Mary. So let's pick it up, right, in Luke chapter 2. And this is now, after that, this is now the angel's message, right? This is the glory of God now breaking through, right? The heaven coming to earth. And because in the Old Testament, if you know, we talk about this in church. Like, what is the proof that you are a true prophet? In the Old Testament, you are a true prophet, right? The Elijahs and the Isaiahs and the Jeremiahs, all these guys. The test of a prophet is that you've been summoned before the throne of God. That is how you were identified as a true prophet, right? You didn't study about God. You experienced the very presence and the throne of God. That's how you would know that they were a prophet. And so that's this story. So let's pick it up in Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy." You know that word good news is the word that we translate the gospel, right? I bring you what? And the word, the gospel, right, is actually, it means good angel, right? Evangel actually is you, okay, angelion. It's good angel. And angels were messengers. So that's how we get good message, right? So the message of the gospel has always been, right? The reason why it's angelic news is because it was first delivered by angels, right? The angel spoke to Mary, right? And the angels are now coming in the throne of God, breaking through heaven, coming to earth, and the glory of God is just filling this field where the shepherds are. That's the first Christmas scene. And they were filled with great fear, and the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth." It's just the kingdom of God is breaking through. And he appeared to just like normal average people, like the shepherds. God wasn't calling them to be a great prophet, the lone wolf. But the heaven of God, I mean, just the heaven, the kingdom, right, was breaking through. So the message of the gospel is the message of the kingdom. That we too now, right, like the prophets of old, right, could be summoned before the throne of God. That's the good news. And Christ is going to make the way. And it says peace. So now what does that look like? What does that feel like? Right? We live in a restless society. Like, I just know, like, sometimes, like, it's hard for you to fall asleep. And so, like, the thing that we get, like, attached to is our phone, right? Because next to our bed, because we just feel restless all the time. Because, right, our hearts are not at rest unless it's resting, right, in Christ. And so, but it's, we look for natural solutions, right, to settle this restlessness, right? But it's really the glory of God. The worth of God, the specialness of God, the uncommonness of God just coming upon me. And he says, and peace among those whom he is pleased. And if you're in Christ, he is pleased with you. I mean, that is something that, like, I want us to today, like, really get. God is pleased with you. Not because you've been good, right? Only Santa Claus cares whether you've been naughty or good, right? Jesus, right? He knows you haven't really been good, right? He already knows that, right? But he's looking to Christ, right? He has only one list, right? The list of Christ and without Christ. So peace is what God is offering you. in this season, right? The throne of God breaking through, right? Just to love on you, right? That's Christmas. Like, we don't have to have low expectations. You don't have to try to, you know what I mean? Like, low expectations so you won't be disappointed. Man, just full out all on, right? Just dare to be, like, disappointed. If you come to God with all your heart, but what's the problem? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 13, 53. And coming to his hometown, now Jesus was doing some ministry, so now he's coming back to Nazareth, right? And he was a Nazarene. And so he comes back to his hometown, and he taught them in their synagogue so that they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And are not all of his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things?" And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and his own household." And here it is. "And he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief." Do you know what unbelief is? Unbelief is when Jesus gets familiar. Like, you know the facts of Jesus, okay? But you don't have the worth and the treasure of Jesus in your mind and heart, okay? So unbelief is when you're familiar with Jesus, like the people of his hometown. And that's what plagues Christmas, is because we're so familiar with Jesus. And God says, that's unbelief. So, like, when you remember, right, see, this is the thing about, you know, what memory is. We think memory is just facts, right? But if you work with wounded warriors, you would know, like, when you get PTSD, right? When you remember, you don't just remember facts. You remember the entire emotion, the travesty, like, when you recall the memory, you recall all that. And you know what healing is? Healing is when you can remember the facts and not remember the junk. Right? Now, why am I talking about that? Because memory is not just memory. Right? Memory is, first of all, when you remember Jesus, here's three things. There's the truth of the memory. There's the facts. There's the emotions. And there's the importance. The importance. Now, this is where the holiness of God comes. Because holy is about worthiness. It's about importance. It's about significance. It's about priority. Now, you can't conjure that up. And we're going to talk about that. But being familiar with Jesus is called unbelief. So sometimes we come into Christmas and we're familiar with Jesus. Which means we're coming into Christmas not really believing in the gospel. This heaven breaking through, right, to, like, the kingdom of God just being really near, and that God wants to summon. We don't even believe that God really wants to be with us. The Christmas message and the Christmas season is not just glory for yourself, right, but the usherance of the glory of God into other people's lives. And, you know, my wife and we were just talking about this. I was like, you know, like, sometimes, like, we want Christmas, and I mean, I love gathering together with my family. My family's here, right? It just never dawned on us. Maybe the Christmas is really about the gospel breaking through, not just in our own lives, but maybe in the lives of people who don't know Jesus. And this didn't just plague the hometown folks. Familiarity. Do you know what the word familiar means? In Latin, the word familiar, it means what? Household servant. Right? That's what it means. Like, you know Jesus, it's like a household servant. Like, being familiar is damning, right, when it comes to God, right, and the people. And it's just so hard, right, to get our arms around that. But here's another thing, and the reason, like, biblically, when we walk out, right, why familiar is unbelievable. Take a look at John chapter 7, right? So his brothers said to him, talking to, now, these are the brothers of Jesus who later on becomes Christian, but for now, "Leave here and go to Judea." Now, these are guys that know Jesus. I'm almost positive, like 99.999% that their moms conveyed to them what the angels told Mary, that this is the Son of God. They know the facts about Jesus. They even see the miracles of Jesus, right? They're very familiar with their brother. So his brother said to him, "Leave here and go to Judea, that your disciples also may see the works you are doing. For no one works in secret if he seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world." Right? What they're talking about, right, is a gloriousness that comes in the natural. Not the kingdom of God breaking in, right? Right? To those who would believe. They're just talking about being impressive. And you know what they call that? He says, Jesus, this is Jesus, for not even his brothers believed in him. They were not just familiar with Jesus. They were familiar with the fact that he does amazing things, right? But they weren't interested, right, in the kingdom, the glory, the holiness of Jesus. They were interested in being impressive, right? And maybe that's like, you know, a tether that they can follow. So we come right here, and we're here, we're listening, and these words, as the word of God comes out, right, could come out like an angelic message. That means the Holy Spirit is taking these words, right? The Holy Spirit is taking them, and it's stirring you up, and Jesus is becoming more important, right? The emotions of your love for Jesus is coming to life. Right? Because I can tell you one thing, I'm not reminding you probably, right? I'm not reminding you about the facts of Jesus. But see, that's something that we can't do for ourselves. That's not, like, we cannot remember Jesus. We can remember Jesus and remember the facts about Jesus. But to get the importance of Jesus, like feeling like Jesus is important, feeling the love for Jesus, that's not something we can do. That's not a me remember thing, right? And this is why, you know, that's the job of the Holy Spirit. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 3, it says, "I know you are enduring patiently, bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary." The church of Ephesus, right, is doing amazing things. It's a wonderful church. They're doing all the right things. The problem is people are not in love with Jesus. Verse 4, "But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first." And what does it say? Remember. Right? Remember. Is it saying that remember the facts about Jesus? No. They're not. Jesus is not telling the church, remember the facts about me. Jesus is saying what? You lost your first love. He's saying remember in a way that you get that love back. Remember in a way so that he can be first again. That's the only kind of remembering there ever is in the Bible. That's worth anything and means anything, and that's not something you can do. You can't do anything. You can't go shopping enough. You can't do enough. You can't do anything in your own power for Jesus to become more important to you and to love him. But Jesus yet says, remember. Therefore, from where you have fallen, he says, repent and do the works you did at first. And you're kind of left desperate. Well, how do you do that? John chapter 16. Jesus said, okay, that it's better for me to go. I mean, he literally said that so that the Holy Spirit could come. Because even when Jesus was around, this is now where the Trinity, the gospel is a message of the Trinity, right? Because we know that Jesus was the bridge between man and God. And we just never really think about the Holy Spirit as this bridge between Jesus and us. Because, I mean, all around Jesus, you got betrayals going on. Even Peter, I mean, he's like Pizzo, right? I mean, he's the guy. But even he loses the importance of Jesus. The love for Jesus. He betrays him. All of his disciples scatter. Because that's not the job of Jesus. It's the job of the Holy Spirit. And what's the job of the Holy Spirit? Let's look. John chapter 16, verse 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. Now, look. Okay, now that we have the Bible, we don't need the Holy Spirit, right? No, there's a way that the Holy Spirit declares it to you that you just reading the facts in the Bible aren't going to declare it to you. And that's a difference between night and day, and it's not the same thing. Because what is the job of the Holy Spirit? He says, he will glorify me. What does that mean? The word glorify, if glory is the manifestation of God's holiness, and God's holiness is the importance, the first importance, the radical importance, the radical worth of God, right? Then the Holy Spirit's job is to make Jesus, right, worthy, feeling like a treasure into your life. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. To make Jesus feel special to you. And if Jesus doesn't feel special, there's nothing you can do to make him special. You can remember all the facts you want. You can memorize the entire Bible, but without the Holy Spirit, you're not going to get the glory of Jesus. For he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Right? The glory that is in us, when he was praying in John chapter 17, okay, I have given that to them. We have the glory of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit declares it. That's how he does it. Verse 15, and all that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you, vis-a-vis the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, right? Jesus says, but the helper, right? We need help, right? When we have, right? Like in that situation, we're stuck. There's a stronghold. We're stuck in this pattern. Like, and the biggest emergency is I just don't love Jesus enough. If the greatest commandment in all of Scripture is to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, if that's the greatest commandment, right? Not doing that, it feels wrong, doesn't it? Like in your heart, don't you like, oh, you know, I really do want to love Jesus. That means you're a Christian. But you're just feeling like, oh, how do I do that? Like, I want to have devotion, but when I have devotion, I don't know, I'm just not getting anything out of it. Well, there's a solution to that. Because what does the helper do? The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. And what does he do? He will bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. We're not talking he will bring up facts about Jesus. He will bring to your remembrance your affection for Jesus. Like how much you really love him. It's in all of you. You just love him so much. Right? Now, sometimes, you know, sometimes I forget too. You know, like I forget how much I love my kids, how much I love my wife. You know what I remember? When they get hurt. You know, I remember carrying, you know, Allison to the, she had croup. I mean, you know, it's not like not a deadly disease, but she was breathing like this. You know, and she was like, I think, what, one or two, or I don't know, like, you know? And I was just like carrying her, you know, into the emergency room, you know, and I was like, God, take me instead. You know, it's like, you know, you're like, it's not even a serious condition, but, you know, you're hearing it, you know, and you're just getting all melodramatic. And what I am saying to you, okay, is that if you're in Christ, you love Jesus like that. Trust me when I say that to you. That is your birthright. You love God with a dear affection. It is in you. It is in you. And what Jesus is saying is that let the Holy Spirit, right? Invite the Holy Spirit, because he's going to bring that to remembrance. He's going to just surface that for you, right? Jesus, right? He was injured for you. He was just utterly decimated for you. And you're going to bring to remembrance, right? The message of Good Friday, right? The message of Easter. He's going to bring the gospel to your remembrance, and you're going to just see how much he loves you. And you're going to go, oh my God, God loves me. He had me in his mind when he hung on the cross. And he was thinking about me. And that's the job of the Holy Spirit. And you're going to go, Jesus, you're so holy. Holy, holy, holy. Right? And but we got to ask, right? It's not an effort thing. It's an ask thing. It's a begging thing. It's a crying out thing. It's not, right? Don't think natural. You don't earn that, right? Ephesians 5:18. Close with this verse. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but filled with the Holy Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. It's a command, right? Now, he uses being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, here comes the memory part, right? Why do we get drunk with wine? Because sometimes we want to forget. The problem is, you just can't forget, right? Our memory is not one of, you can't like do a surgical forget. You can't just remember the one incident. You know what wine does? It just numbs you, the whole system down. You can't, because why? What's the difference between numbing you? I got injury, I got pain, I got hurt, I got betrayal, I got embarrassment, and I need something. It could be ice cream, it could be wine, it could be anything. But there's only one way to read, that's called healing. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit's not trying to numb you down. Holy Spirit's trying to heal you down. And the Holy Spirit's going to now bring to your remembrance how loved you are. And you're going to then say, God, like, now that is supernatural. That is not something you can do on your own. And you don't have to distract yourself. You don't have to turn to your phone. You don't have to turn to anything. You can turn to Jesus. Right? And ask. Right? And just say, God, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Right? Hey, June, if you can come up. We're going to do, right, a very Christmas thing. Okay? It wouldn't even be Christmas. Okay? I promise you. It won't even be Christmas. Okay? Unless you're filled. Okay? And experience the glory of God. That is how you celebrate Christmas. Because Christmas was about an angelic message. The story of Christmas is the story of the angels declared to you from heaven. And when the angels declared that message, the glory of God just shone all around them. Right? And the shepherds, right, were ushered into the presence of God. Now, there is a Christmas narrative, right? It's not that Jesus was born like he never existed, right? Christmas is an incarnation story. But it's not just the incarnation of a body. It's the incarnation of the glory of God, right? Manifest. So that we, dying in darkness, right, could have him. I mean, really have him. And enter into the kingdom of God. Okay, so let's just close our eyes. If everybody can stand, just... Okay, June. I don't know where you're at, you know, but if you ask me, like, Jesus, like, what would you like for Christmas? I can tell you one thing. You know what Jesus would say? Receive the Holy Spirit. That's what he would say. Why? So then, then you could love him as he deserves, because it's the greatest commandment, and it is your dying wish. It is the ache that you feel every night. It's the ache that you have, right? Waking up in the morning. You long to be in the presence of God. And just worship him and just bathe. So let's just, I just want to just Put your hands out, right? Just put your hands out. We're just going to just, you know, you can raise it, you can palms faced up, but what I just want you to do is just, I just want you to just say, I'm just going to just pray a prayer, and I want you to pray, God, I want more of the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, can you point me to Jesus? Can you bring to remembrance how much I love Jesus? Can you help me to grieve over my sins? Because I've been so numb, so addicted. Can you help me to grieve and repent? Oh, Holy Spirit, can you help me to fall in love with Jesus again? Let's just cry out together, right? And I'll close for us, okay? I'll start and then we'll pray together, right? To receive the Holy Spirit, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, God, we're so desperate for the Holy Spirit to come. And I just pray now, God, in the name of Jesus, God, that you would just fill those, God, who are hungry and thirsty right now, whom you're moving, God. Jesus, fill, God, in Jesus' name, God, impart the Holy Spirit now. God, that people would just come to repentance. God, they would fall in love again. And God, they would be filled with peace and joy. God, that they would be healed. And God, that they would love you with all their hearts. God, just fill this room, God, with your Holy Spirit. God, fill our people here. God, just fill them. God, summon us, God, before the heavenly thrones. Summon us, God, before the heavenly throne. Oh, Holy Spirit, show us Jesus. Help us to love him. Let's pray out loud together. Heavenly Father, oh God, I need you, Lord. I need you to point us now. Just fill us, God. Fill us with the Holy Spirit. God doesn't need your low expectation. God wants you to expect just more, God, more. God wants you just expect nothing less than the glory of God coming just in its full might, supernaturally. Okay? Let's repent for just our lack of faith, just expecting familiar things from Jesus. Only common grace, not holy grace. Oh God, just fill this room. Fill our people, God, with just a full measure, God, of your Spirit. I just pray now. Just come, Lord. Come, Jesus.